At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. As I'm sure you're aware because of the title of this, we had a very special guest join us for a chat tonight, the one and only Brittany Curran, a.k.a. High King Fen from Sci-Fi's The Magicians. Brittany was on the show for 4 out of its 5 seasons, her role growing as the story itself grew. Aside from her role as Fen, she recently was an executive producer on a documentary titled The Water of Life, a look at the craftsmen, chemists, and renegades who saved Scotch whiskey and started a single malt revolution. So we can't really dive into the interview without first shouting out the man and the organization that made it happen, the one and only Rick Worthy, a.k.a. Dean Fogg himself, and his wonderful charity, Buddy's Healing Paws. Buddy's, named after Rick's late loyal canine and founded in partnership with his good friend Rebecca, helps fund life-saving medical procedures for pets. Buddy's is hosting a Magician's Trivia Night on Saturday, March 26th as a fundraiser for their current initiatives. It's $10 to enter, and the winner will receive a magician script signed by Rick and an autographed photo of our esteemed guest, Brittany Curran. And Bingetown TV actually created all of the questions. So if they're too hard, sorry about that. And if they're too easy, sorry about that. So if you, even if you can't join the trivia night, a small donation made in memory of a pet, a laugh from the magicians, or to simply pay it forward would go a long way. And now to our main event, a chat with Fensical Wahlberger herself.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Hi.
Climactic. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hey, Brittany.
Hello. How are you guys?
Shaking right now.
Dave,
we're okay. We'll hold up. We'll hold up.
That makes me so. I love when people quake in their boots because of me. I'm just kidding. Maybe it does. Yay.
How are you? How you been? What are you up to?
I'm good. I'm good. I've gotten into a lot of magic things, like witchcrafty things, but like not during the magicians. During like the past few months.
Okay. You've been missing it so much.
Yeah.
I'm craving magic. And so I went to like my local like apothecary witchcraft shop, which is like right down the street. And then I was just writing a bunch today and had some work stuff to do. But I actually went to Universal Studios because it's really close by to do some writing because I have like a year pass.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Love it. Love
so
Universal.
I love Universal so much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I go just like for a change of scenery. So I'm like there and I'm working, but not really. And a guy gave me a pie.
Pie day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He was like, I'm full. I mean, it was so nice. I promise. I'm full. And he's like, I'm just going to throw it out. I was thinking he was throwing out all his family's stuff. He's like, do you want this? And I was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, it's pie day. Magic is working.
What kind of pie was it? I need to know.
It was an apple pie.
Okay.
How many digits of pie can you recite?
3.14.
There you go.
Witchcraft won't help you there.
Yeah.
Will not help me with numbers.
Witches don't need math. Witches don't need math.
Yeah, exactly. No. It doesn't figure into a single thing at all.
Yeah, no. They make their own math.
Yeah. Yes. So will I.
Wow.
Well, nice to finally meet you guys.
Yes.
I know.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I was excited to be on with you guys. Sorry for switching it up today. Especially with daylight savings, I just like...
Oh, yeah.
No problem at all.
You know what's a fun fact, not a fun fact, but a weird fact about daylight savings that I learned today is that there are more car crashes the day after daylight savings than any other day of the year.
People too tired or something?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is crazy. And I don't like
tired,
that.
Late. Everyone's late. They're an hour late to everything.
That is actually perfect reason right there.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah, we shouldn't have it then. All right. We don't need it.
No, it's so outdated. Which way do I want it? I don't know.
Extra sunlight, I guess.
Not the way that it was this way.
Yeah. Give me the extra sunlight.
Yeah. I second that.
No, I'm going to dive right into the magician stuff because I was thinking about how long it's been. I was saying, like, I'm a little rusty now on the magicians. I'm obsessed with it. It's my number one show of all time. But now I used to watch it like constantly, like it was airing, I would rewatch. But now I try and like save it for like once a year because I want it to feel like new and some special I'm doing. So last year we covered it with the boys episode by episode, but it's coming up in 2 weeks. It'll be the 2 year anniversary of the finale.
That's so crazy.
The series finale. It's crazy. So, I mean, you and Jade have been doing like did the Magic and Chill for a while, but how has it been like 2 years out? It doesn't feel like 2 years to me. Like I can still remember sobbing in the pandemic alone watching the finale, but how's it been the past 2 years? Like how does Magician still play a role in your life? Like what's going on?
Yeah, when I get residuals, it plays a role.
Perfect.
Damn right.
it does play a role, not just monetarily. I was on The Magicians personally for 4 years, so it became a significant part of my life. I was thinking the other day that I started the show when I was in my mid-20s. So pretty much was like my mid-20s until like now I'm 31. So like pretty much the second half of my 20s was all The Magicians. So it left a significant, shining light in my life. I'm still like really good friends with some of the people. And then some people I just like, you know, will casually say hi to and stuff. But, I talk to Stella Maeve, like at least every week, if we weren't both so horrible at following up sometimes. We talk every day. I think she's cool with me throwing us both under the bus.
Yeah. It's the text. It's like, what's up? And then 3 days later, nothing. You.
Yeah, exactly. And then once in a while, one of us will get insecure and be like, do you still love me? Yes. For the love of God. Yes.
Love that.
That goes back and forth. So it's very mutual love and neediness there. But I love Stella. Yeah. We talk all the time and I'm still really good friends with, definitely some of the other actors and some of the writers, especially. Like I was saying with the magic, cause a lot of our writers and producers are very witchy. And so I think I kind of had that influence for a while. So now like that I'm starting to dive into this little witchy part of my life, I'm like becoming closer again with some of the writers and being like, oh my God, I did this thing last night. And now I know what you're talking about. That was like the most general statement I could possibly make.
That's all right. It works.
Single example.
The hedge witch. She's becoming a hedge witch.
Yeah.
Now.
I know. Yes. Yeah. Last night, my fiance was like, he was looking up different types of witches. He's like, I think you're a hedge witch. And he explained it. I was like, oh, that does sound like me right now.
Gotta get the tattoo.
I know. I should.
Kathleen, I'm surprised you don't have that.
I talk about it every time I watch Magicians. I text this group and I say, I'm getting this. I don't have a tattoo yet. So it would really be. Would really be doing something.
Would it be your first tattoo?
Yes.
Okay. That's probably why it's like a dive in. But then I hear once you get one, you're just like addicted to getting tattoos. So.
Right. I don't think I'd regret it. The Magicians is the number one. So yeah. It's okay.
It doesn't sound like she has any tattoos then.
Me?
Yes.
No, I don't. Yeah. I love tattoos though. I love them. And I do want to
Me
get.
Too.
I have like a calendar. I have, what am I saying? I have a folder on my computer right now that like I started 10 years ago with like images and inspirations and a lot of research and absolutely no follow through to do with my first tattoo that I still haven't gotten. So
sounds like your personal Pinterest on your own computer of just tattoo ideas.
That's exactly how I would describe it.
I feel like mine's migrated around. I feel like I would save them on my computer and then maybe like Twitter, I would bookmark them. TikToks, they're almost like recipes for me on TikToks. I'll see tattoo videos.
Yeah.
I'll save that for later and then never come back to it ever again.
I'm really bad at screenshotting on my phone and it's like, all right, I'll look at that eventually. And then now I have like 18,000 pictures on my phone.
I have a very low pain tolerance, though. That's what I'm afraid of as well.
With the tattoo. Yeah. Etsy has temporary hedge witch tattoos that we can try first to make sure that they were okay with them. And then you know what?
Stolen some from the hair and makeup chiller while I had a chance. The temporary ones that they put on, like, yeah. Stella and them. I should have. Why didn't I steal more?
Yeah, why didn't you? What did you steal? Did you steal anything?
No, I didn't. I did. I stole like a potion bottle. I mean, there was nothing in it. It was a prop from the lab set. I stole that on the very last day of my last day of filming. I mean, people steal. Look at me rationalizing.
I did what was illegal.
It's like, you know, people steal things.
Hold on, tell me exactly what you stole. I'll write it down for the studio and let them know after this.
We'll send you a bill.
Yeah.
Universal's gonna be like, oh my god. Yeah.
I love that. You are really leaning into this witch era of your life. I love it.
Yeah. I know.
The inner Fen coming out.
Yeah, exactly. I do play with my knives still all the time. I feel like I leaned into stealing before I leaned into witchcraft, which is so
let's talk about those knives then. How was training with them? You know, how did it feel being such a badass wielder of knives, you know, being the daughter of a smither?
Yeah, it's funny. The starting to train with the knives actually did make me more confident just as a human being. And I think part of it is because I danced as a kid and I did some physical stuff, but so much of my life and my own career and art has been very, would esoteric be the right word, but like in your head rather than like actually being able to do like physical things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, yeah, once I was actually able to do a skill that I could like do at a party, as opposed to like doing breaking out like a Shakespearean monologue at a party. There's no way in hell I'm going to do that. So yeah, to be able to like actually manipulate things physically and do like cool stuff was really fun for me. And yeah, and I still love it. I can actually see one right now on my dining room table, like you do, one of my rubber knives.
So are you telling us that knives come out at parties?
Actually, knives come out at like coffee shops. I remember like with the writers one day, Henry Lonzo Myers, one of our showrunners, him and me and a couple of the other writers went up to a coffee shop once. This was like a few years ago. And I had some of my practice knives in my purse. And Henry was like, what? I don't know. It's just better than what. And I just took it out and I started doing some of my little flourishes and stuff. So yeah,
that's
it's
awesome.
Come out in interesting places.
That's so cool. Don't invite Kathleen over. She might try and get her hands on that knife.
Oh yeah. Big time.
I mean, it's rubber, so you can't hurt yourself too much with it or anyone. Good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So when we were filming all of the ones on film are real. They were just really, really
dull.
Sorry, not all of them. I would say half of them. I'm like actually remembering now, like half of them were real. They were just super, super dulled down. You go into the prop shop and they would actually like, you know how normally people are sharpening knives. They would actually take knives that were dull and dull them even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half, like anything like from far away where you really couldn't see the glint of the knife, we used, a prop knife, which was, oh my God, what was it called? It's this type of material.
Acrylic?
No, not acrylic. It's like, oh my God.
I was thinking of like reflection.
Paper.
Something
that could reflect. Yeah, somewhere between acrylic and paper. And, no, it's like, oh my God, I can't remember that. There's like a word for it that's used in movie knives and swords a lot. It's like, I can't think of it. I can't think of the word, but it's a specific thing used in place of metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a knife question. So I feel like, I don't know that we ever got to the bottom of this. So in season 5, when Margot stabs you through the chest, thinking she's actually stabbing you through the chest and it's actually like a child's play knife. I remember on the episode being like, what the fuck is a child's play knife? I'm like, how does that work? How did Margot think, like, is that a real thing? And does that actually work? Like Margot genuinely thinks she stabbed you and it didn't?
Yeah, so Margot, at least according to like the action in the script, because I'm not sure what comes across, what people interpret, but yeah, according to the action in the script, Margot believes she's really stabbing me, which is why after she stabs me, she looks so regretful and depressed, sad, because all of a sudden, like that adrenaline, I'm guessing wears off, but that's why she looks so sad because she thinks she actually killed me. I think in the action, it said that like, her character like forgets that it's a child's play knife or something. Cause you know, you get caught up in the battle or something, or maybe she didn't know that I had the child's play knife.
Yeah. I think because that's it.
Yeah. Cause I think my character intentionally you brought them because I knew that I'd be fighting her and I didn't want to kill her. And that's why like some of my lines are Margo stabbed me. And she's like, what? Because I was trying to like tell her that I had them. I mean, not that she would interpret that as that, like how the heck would she remember that? And so, yeah, but I think a child's play knife, it's a made up thing, but it's based, I think it's based on the idea of like, you know, like when people get like needle jabs in movies and stuff and the needle and just
pushes in. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to, child's play knife in Fillory is supposed to be like that, but like, but skewed with some kind of magical proponent that makes it even more like realistic or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe that. That was crazy.
That's my understanding.
That was probably one of the more like, I mean, there's a million storylines in The Magicians that come out of left field and are wild, but the whole Fen and Josh and Margot scene in the, like the jail, the cages was crazy. I don't remember feeling like so disappointed in like a character, like two characters. It was like, holy shit, like this is actually happening. What were your thoughts when you like first got that script and read that that's the way it was going?
Oh, first I was like, these bitches. They killed me or she killed me. I was excited. I mean, not as Fen, but as Brittany, I was excited about it because I thought that was a fun, complex thing to have to play. And I kind of understood everybody's perspective in a way because like, you know, to me and Josh, we were, gosh, if I'm really remembering the storyline, right? Josh and I were living in Fillory because of like the time jumps and stuff for a really, really long time. And so to us, it wasn't like anybody was cheating on anybody because like we thought all of our friends were like dead and in the future. Yeah. So why not beg?
Feel that.
You Cheers. Know? They all left us behind. We might as well have sex. I think my understanding was that we thought that everybody was dead, but a lot of time went by for us. But then like Margot and the rest of them, not as much time went by. And I don't know if they knew that we thought that. And so it would seem like a betrayal. So I kind of loved how everybody's perspective was like understandable from their own point of view. And I mean, I was sad for Fen though, because but I was sad for Fen because, you know, people are just so mean to her so often.
Oh my gosh. Our podcast loves Fen and Kyle here.
We stand
Kyle
Fen.
Here makes sure that Fen gets her due on the podcast. People are way too mean. Kathleen is the Margot apologist, but even the times when Margot's mean to Fen,
she
makes sure to say she's being too mean to Fen.
I am a Margot apologist. But in true Margot fashion, like in that scene in the jail scene that Kyle, hear me out. That Kyle was talking about, like Margot took it too far. Like she might have been in the right to be upset. And then all of a sudden she's a mega bitch and just turns it where you're like, well, damn, now I can't root for any of you people. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah. I totally saw the Fen and Josh side of it all. Like they were left alone. You bet.
Yeah. If you think everyone's gone and it's just you two and you just want to do what's best for Fillory and Fen knows what's best for Fillory
and bang it out.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can understand like, Margot, like her initial response being upset, obviously, but then like that come down moment of, okay, wait, timing, everyone, she thought they were dead, all that stuff. But I do feel like Margot seemed genuinely remorseful in those if I remember correctly, in those cages. And that day filming with Trevor and Summer was so much fun when the three of us were in the cages, the three of us and the whole crew. I remember too, it was like such a magical lack of a better word day. That was a really, really, really cool day. And and I was also happy that when I first read the script and then when we actually, you know, filmed it on the day, that Fen finally like kind of let down that wall of no, everything's always fine for a second, and actually let herself feel her real emotions and actually let herself like feel what I think she deserves to feel, which betrayal or sadness or anything when people like hide their, you know, sad emotions. Not that I have any experience with that myself.
she does go through quite the transformation there. I mean, I just remember everything. Not that she was like a simple character, but you know, she never really got to the darker side of things and being involved in that. I feel like even after those events, she even was able to start standing up to Margot a little bit, maybe not being as intimidated as she like used to be, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say Fen was like a bit more of like a simpler character, especially at the beginning. I think when she was first being fleshed out, and even when I was first on the show, I was signed on to do like 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. And so her arc originally was supposed to be shorter. So there was like less time to flesh out a more complex arc. And so I think that can really be seen with her storyline and with her character development, is that she does become more of a complex character as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, seeing her like stick up for herself and actually like show how she feels and not just be like, everything's fine for Villery.
Right. Right.
Cause there were so many times in the scripts, you know, leading up to that scene and other scenes where Fen finally puts her foot down on ridiculousness. I would read a scene, I'd be like, oh my God. I'd be like, I'd start to get mad for Fen. I'm like, what is someone gonna give her some respect? But it made it that much more satisfying when Fen stood up for herself.
Oh yeah.
We love that she's the savior of filler in the end. Like her being from kind of that side character to being that the leader in the end was just amazing to see for us.
Yeah. Season 5 was amazing for Fen. And one of the biggest disappointments that we had the series finale and it ended was that obviously going into season 6, if it would have happened, Fen would have been even more of a prominent character. Yeah. And it was the trajectory that everyone, us majorly, wanted, you know.
Yeah.
We're calling for it, and everybody was loving the trajectory that Fen was going on. It's a shame that it had to end when it did.
Yeah, ditto to all of that. I was so happy with her trajectory and yeah, her having more stuff and more like, you know, interesting, complicated stuff. And I was so excited to see where that would lead. But I was happy that she got to the point that she did before the show the close. And like you said, yeah, like she went from being a side character to like literally birthing the new Fillory.
Let's talk about that.
Oh yeah, that was the world seed.
Yeah. That little thing. That was fucking incredible.
You're fucking right. Wait, can I swear?
Okay. We were actually
I can swear, you can't.
We're waiting for you to swear.
I think when we had Rick on, he was saying something really quick. He's like, oh shit, am I allowed to do that? We're like, oh yeah, you're good. Yeah. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
I figured with the magicians being very scary.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
We were talking about it before you joined the call, but and just always laughing at it. The scene where in the hotel when there's the whole like kind of the shootout and then we lost the world seed, and then the way that you hit the high pitch, like, I got it, Margo. I really think that's the funniest scene in the entire show. And if you would have told me, I guess maybe like middle of season 2, that Fen would deliver what I thought was the funniest line in the show, I would have thought you were crazy. So that's just again like another layer to like Fen's development as just a great, great character.
Yeah, Fen delivered something all right. I think at one point there was a storyline in which, like, I don't know. See, the writers fuck with me a lot because we are actually really close friends. Me and Emmy. Sorry, my dog is getting into.
Ooh, let's see the dog.
Come here.
Ooh. Oh, hi, puppy.
Yay! Oh,
hi. That is a beautiful dog. Oh, kisses.
You're good.
I think she has like a toy stuck under that table.
Looking for help.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, she has plenty of toys out in the open. She wants the one that she cannot currently access. I mean, I guess it's very human-like of her, isn't it?
Actually, yes.
But not to mention, like, world seed inside of you. And then straight into one of our other favorite musical moments is when you go down the, and it's like,
it was quite the transition.
Like, we love when you guys are running out and everyone and Alice and Elliot are like, bam, 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 bam. Yeah. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, the most ridiculous chain of events. And it, Magicians just one-upped itself every season, every episode. It's unbelievable. And if Kyle, if you were to have told me in season one that that would be a storyline, I'd be like,
yeah.
Yeah,
because they really, the whimsical just went out of control, which is my favorite thing. So,
yeah,
Santa Claus picks them up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was so magical. We were really like on a rooftop on this at the Hotel Vancouver, the Fairmont Hotel Vancouver.
Wow.
Vancouver. So we were really like on the rooftop. Because a lot of times those scenes are CGI'd to some degree. But yeah, no, we were really up on a rooftop and it was so much fun. And we were not supposed to like go out too far to the edge in this one section, but Olivia and I decided to still do that. So like take not like super close where it was really unsafe, but like, I don't know. We'll see. But like we were like taking pictures of each other and then, oh, we're so sorry to like secure. We probably shouldn't have done that, but we have really good pictures because of it. So it's totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
Our safety in life is worth a picture. Oh gosh. But what was I going to say? Oh yeah. The world, back to the world seed. So when they first told me about the world seed, since I've like become like buddies with some of the writers and we like messing with each other a lot, when they first of all, one of our writers writer producers, David Reed, who also directed, which episode it doesn't matter. He was like, when you read episode 512, was that it? He was he's like, there's, I can't remember what he said. He's like, left a little gift in there for you. And I was like, what did he do? Cause David's like one of like such a close friend of mine. And I remember reading it. And I was actually behind him on set when I was reading it. Cause I was shadowing him as a director for that episode. And then I just remember like being on set and gasping. And I was like, oh, you motherfucker. I was like, you guys are so messed up. All of you. I love it. And then when props created the world seed, cause I was imagining more of like a seed type, like a normal earth seed, which I know some seeds are huge, but I was thinking like a sunflower seed, you know? And then, so one of our writers, Elle, showed me a picture of it. And she actually has a series of photographs of me looking at a picture of the seed for the first time. And my, like, going through the seven stages of grief or something, going through a lot of stages of some emotion. And but we all had, it was so funny. And I, in that day that I did the, I've got it, Margo, like, we did that line like normal, like we filmed this scene, but then at the very end, the director just had me do it take after take, almost like an ADR session, like you're dubbing over your voice, you'll just do the same thing a bunch of times. But like, we actually did it while filming the scene, which you don't do as often. And it was so, normally it would be like, there'll be a little hindering to acting, but because it was such a ridiculous moment, it actually was like, the director totally made the right choice and it was so much fun. So I just sat there like on the ground in my little chiffon dress in my big seed. And I remember the director just had me say, I've got it, Margo. Like, I don't know, like 8 or 10 times in a row, just in like different, you know, tonations, different everything. And like the whole crew is standing there. And like at the last take, we all started dying laughing. Cause I was just saying it in ridiculous ways over and over.
I don't know how you
the perfect cut.
I don't know how you don't die laughing every single take. I mean, it's in the Magicians in general, every single cast member that we've had on, we're like, these writers are incredible, ridiculous. Every single word you could think of with Margot's lines that you just can't tell. I mean, I think it was Rick that we asked. We're like, did Summer actually ad lib any of them? And Rick said, like, they were on the paper pretty much.
Yeah.
This is coming from the writers, these ridiculous lines that whether it's Margot's lines, any of the craziness, it's, I don't know how you don't laugh the entire time while you're trying to act.
Yeah, we definitely would break. We definitely broke sometimes. Maybe not as much as one would think, but we definitely would break sometimes. I think what would happen is, and I think this goes for like most sets, is you kind of like, for some reason, something hits, something really funny hits just right or wrong. And then it's really hard to get through once it starts to hit you. And that would happen sometimes where you just get stuck on something. Yeah. I don't know. I definitely laughed a bit with Hale. I remember there's this one, and plus Hale's such a good friend of mine. And we kind of like bonded right off the bat. He was one of the first people that I think became real friends with when I joined the cast. And
I love that.
Yeah. Such a wonderful fucking human being. I love him so much. And, there was this one scene in the very beginning, like season two, where we were having that magical threesome type. And like his character at one point, and we for some reason hadn't rehearsed this one maneuver, but like he like flips me over onto all fours and then, saddles up. I don't know how to. I'm 12 years old. Immature. But then, like, hadn't done that positioning yet at all. And also, like, Hale and I are really good friends. And yeah. So he's there, like, trying to, because I mean, I'm wearing, like, what's the American word for it? I'm wearing all these skivvies underneath. Like, I have all this covering underneath, but like, still. And what the heck is it called? I don't know, the skin type stuff.
Oh, Spanx, not spandex. Spanx, yes.
Yeah, but like big, like longer, like knee length Spanx and stuff in that scene. Mm. But like he's like rifling my dress up, which is huge because it's like this, you know, period piece type dress.
Yeah.
And then like, and then we both just, it might actually be in the bloopers for that season. We both just died laughing because, I mean, yes, we're professionals and we have these scenes together in which we're focused and it's not weird. Like it would be weird, like randomly making out with your friend. But like, you know, cause when you're there most of the time, you're super focused and it's not like a weird, uncomfortable thing at all. But you know, in this one, he's like mounting me and he's my friend. So I died laughing and thank God, like Hale's the most professional person ever. So nothing was ever uncomfortable, but for some reason that one thing, I think especially because we'd never rehearsed it, plus big dress got in the way. And all of a sudden you're just like Brittany and Hale getting into some hijinks on, like, I don't know. It was just, you know,
That's awesome. Yeah.
It was so fun. But he said he was such a great person to have those scenes with because he was like so professional and so focused, but still had a sense of humor when it was like, when it lightened things and wasn't weird.
As viewers, you always got to gush over those like off screen or like offset relationships. Because obviously I was a big fan of Margot and Elliot. Elliot was my favorite character. And when they were on screen together, it was great. So
their chemistry is amazing.
Yep, and making and knowing that you and him are great friends off screen, just it warms the heart.
It makes sense. You guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, no, he's amazing. And yeah, and their chemistry was amazing on and offset. They're such great friends too during that whole time. And yeah. Yeah, it just makes it easier when you work with people that, not that you have to like them, but it just makes things so much smoother and more lovely.
That's what we always talk about it when we talk about the magicians, and that one of the secret sauce, the secret ingredient almost of the show is the relationship between the characters. I mean, obviously the plot and the background is always interesting, but it you know, goes into left field, it gets wacky, but the thing that's constant is always that these characters are so money and magic together.
Oh yeah.
So I'm sure that like the way that the story was written, it made it almost easy to become friends with all of the people on set as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say too, that the writers, as they got to know us and as they got to know us like together in our friendships and stuff, the writers really on the show did an especially great job of, you know, well, keeping the core of all the characters, but writing to who we were as people, as some elements and how we related to each other in real life, to a degree that I think only just, you know, fed into the natural, the natural inclinations we had anyway. Yeah. And it just awesome. Like kind of rounded it out even more. I mean, the writers, I would say they knew more. They knew and might still know more about me than I know about me. I would read when the new scripts came out for each episode, I would read them sometimes. And I'd also be like, sometimes I'd just be like hit by a dagger, I guess. And, And I'd be like, and I all of a sudden like just like choke up all of a sudden, and I'd realize, oh my God, oh, I should, this is something I should bring up with my therapist because I am, I'm relating to this.
Wow.
Like the scene in, what was it? Season three, who the hell, you guys might know. I don't know. In one of the seasons, maybe three or four, we don't know.
Kathleen, this is a test.
Really? Okay. Nice. Yeah. Yes, I totally know. And I'm just testing you guys. when I have, when I'm doing, and I have the dream, the prophetic dreams, and I'm, wait, is that the same episode?
That's in
with the cat.
Yeah, with the cat. Is that four?
That's in four because, yeah, you dethrone Margot in four. I think.
Right. Okay. It's four. Yeah. There's the whole scene where I finally meet like the cat deity woman, Castle White Spire. And I have the speech where she's like, do you value yourself? Fen. I forgot my character's name for a second.
Do you value yourself, Brittany?
Fen.
Why am I talking to these people?
Wait, am I Margot?
People. I read that scene and I went, when Fen says, yeah, of course I do. Or I think I do. God, I should, or whatever the line is. I was like, and I was reading it. 'Cause I was like, oh, I might have some self-worth issues myself here. And so that was good for me to find out because I really think I didn't know I had issues with self-worth personally until I read this scene. Mm. And now I laugh. I'm like, aha, my self-worth problems, but you know, yeah, I've been working on them. So it's a little better.
Well, that's good.
But it literally wasn't until I read that scene and I was like, oh my God. And I don't even know if the writers knew how, like, they're very intuitive people. So sometimes they would write something and I would ask them like, do you know that you wrote this thing that was so accurate? And I think sometimes they fully knew. And sometimes they like picked up on it from me. Mm. I'm sure others too, but at least I know for me, they picked up on it, but didn't fully know why, but they're so like intuitive and smart that they just wrote these things in. And so, yeah. So that, yeah, Fen definitely helped me discover things about myself. And
wow.
Also probably not a coincidence that Fen started sticking up for herself more and having some, a little more self-worth
right.
and value.
Yeah.
Around the time
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's good. And I'd read, I think it was like a 2019 interview of yours. And I just like the quote that you had said that you feel so protective over the character of Fen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do. And I did. And I definitely do. I felt that more. I've been acting now for just over 20 years professionally. And she's definitely the character over my whole career that I absolutely, I mean, spot on you quoting me.
Yeah, no problem.
Sounds like something I would say.
Yeah, I feel like that wow, quote. But yeah, the Michael so Scott poetic. Or Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Yeah. I feel like I'm inverse that somehow.
Perfect.
Yes, well said, Kyle. God, so eloquent
things
said all day.
Thank you.
I've gone from having lacking self-worth to being a complete asshole. Apparently.
We love character development. We love
We love it. Whether really. It's positive
we
or
need
negative.
An arc. We need an arc.
My arc is more just like a line up. I'm just kidding. It's not.
Doormat to evil witch.
Exactly. That's a fun arc. I like that. Doormat to Evil Witch, the Brittany Kern story. Yeah. Or the Fenois story. Yeah. My last name.
Someone get right.
Fenois. Yeah, wow. Someone... I don't know. I only know Fensical Wahlberger. I don't really. That's
That was written by Hale. By a part of it was written by Hale by accident, actually.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because, like, we didn't really have much ad-libbing on the show. We improvised the little shorts that we did for YouTube, like the live.
Oh, we must talk about those.
Yeah, that was improvised for the most part, but like the show wasn't. But that line, I always want to give Hale credit on this. He season. Two, we were doing a scene. It was one of our first scenes together. And like at the end of each take of this one scene, he would just be like, my little fensicle. And like they cut it out because he was just being silly. But I think it made it onto the gag reel. And he started calling me fensicle once in a while. And the writers like obviously remembered that from years past. And I remember reading that script those years later. And I was like, oh, Hale's name for me. And I think maybe the writer came up with I don't know. He definitely came up with Fensicle, though. So I was happy to see that come full circle like 2 years later.
That is Hall of Fame. You're right.
Kyle, I'm going to have to throw you under the bus a little bit here. We do, at the end of every episode of The Magicians, we do Bang, Kill, Marry. And sometimes we do it in the, you know, in the eyes of a character. Sometimes we do it as us.
I'm already mad at Kyle.
In one of the episodes, Fenn was.
I don't even know what
options.
You're about to say.
No, I'm not really throwing him under
I'm
the
so
bus.
Scared.
It's not throwing it's him under the bus. Good. It's not. It's
I'm
not.
Ready to be
but,
angry.
But no, it's not. It's so but Fenn I. is one of the options. And Kyle says that he would marry Fenn and take her last name as Kyle Wahlberger.
Yeah.
Wait. I thought you were going to kill Fenn. Wait, say it again?
Okay, no. No, I'm not really throwing him under the bus. I'm just saying he has a crush on Fenn. So that's kind of throwing on the bus. My gosh. Yeah. But no, he said he would marry Fenn and take Fenn's last name. Kyle Wahlberger.
Yeah, I'll be Kyle Wahlberger.
Yeah, exactly.
It fits. It fits pretty well, honestly.
That's so funny.
I maybe my Fenn self-worth related issues are not solved because I was like, Kyle wanted to kill me.
I actually think that quotes from our podcast were, if any of you guys kill Fenn, we have a problem.
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely. We always stand up for Fenn. There's no way we can't have that slander here.
Yeah.
I already knew that. And I still thought you were going to say Kyle killed me. So I need to work on that. I'm glad you want to marry.
You need to let your writers know you need another story, Art.
No problem.
Yeah.
Before we get into those shorts, Kathleen, I want to ask, though, I want to dig a little deeper into those that 7-episode contract you were talking about. So, like, how did you hear about the magicians and what was it like getting to those, like, 6-7 episodes when your contract's expiring? Like, did you know you were going to be brought on as a full-time character at that point in time? I'm just curious.
I like how you're saving Kyle from wanting to marry me.
Save the embarrassment a little bit.
Good segue. I found out, I knew about The Magicians. I knew that it was a TV show. There was a billboard up for it, actually, a couple miles away from my house for a while. But I got an audition. Well, the casting directors for it also cast other stuff. So I already kind of knew them a bit. And so they actually brought me in. Oh gosh, how long ago was that? Like 6 or 7 years ago. Ooh, yuck. Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago. They brought me straight to producer to read for them. So it was just like a regular, audition, but straight to producer audition. And when I had the audition, I remember I think on the breakdown, it probably said recurring and it didn't say how many episodes. And then when I got the offer for the role, I was told that it would be 7 with or probably 7 with the possibility for more. Cause with a guest star recurring contract, you're just pinned episode by episode. So it wasn't I was just told it would probably be 7. So it could have been less, it could have been more. And what happened was, they just kept bringing me back and I was like, oh, this is a good sign. And so, yeah, the first season I was on, so second season, I believe I was in 12 out of 13 of the episodes. And I just remember a couple weeks ahead of time, my agents would call me up and let me know that I had been pinned for the next episode. And I just kept being like, okay, this is going really well. And then by the end of the season, because my character was obviously turning into something more and I was always there, I remember cast members and being like, oh my God, they're totally going to make you a series regular. And I thought, oh my gosh, oh no. And I was like, I don't really. And that's just people being wonderfully positive and kind. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch.
Right.
And, but I started to everyone started saying it. Not that that means anything, but so I started thinking to myself, okay, well, this isn't a bad thing. And then I think my agents near the end of the season were talking to me and saying somebody told me it was a possibility, maybe a producer, that I was going to have a bigger role on the show. And so I think I started hearing that rumor might actually be true. And then I actually ran into Chris. I think I can say this now that we're not working on the show. I ran into Chris Fisher, one of our main executive producers on the show. I ran out into him in Hollywood outside of a poutine shop, which is funny because poutine is delicious and it's Canadian, but we're in Hollywood. And so I ran into him because I live in the city right next to Hollywood. I ran into him outside a poutinery and he was like, hey, he's like, Brit, we hadn't seen each other. And I was like, guess what? You're going to be a series regular next year.
Thank you.
And I was like, are you supposed to be telling me this, Fish? I don't think he was. but then I ended up getting a call from my reps did their fun little call a few days later. I think I'm surprised and didn't tell them that Chris Fisher. But But yeah, then I got signed to the series regular contract. But it all happened outside of a poutinery in Hollywood.
Oh, that's wow. That'd
be a core memory right there.
Like, yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was. I was so happy. Because then I was like, okay, he's an EP on this. Like, he wouldn't just say this unless it was in writing somewhere, even though I hadn't signed the contract yet. So I thought, okay, now it's real. Now it feels much more real.
You know,
then it wasn't,
when,
thank God.
When you hear those types of stories where it's like they were only supposed to be on for a few episodes and they end up like rocking it the whole rest of the time, it always just perfectly makes sense. Because Fen had such an amazing arc, but in the beginning, she really was like completely underestimated. And like, we always quote Margot, and we love Fen for her funny lines too. But Fen's lines are fucking funny. Like, your character, especially like anytime you go to Earth, it's just like made for being this kind of like naive, like the comedy of that. Like, I love one line. I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's like you and Julia laying around and you're like, yeah, I need some time away from the old ball and cock or something. Yeah, like that.
No, I think that's right. Like, I think you got it.
Slightly fucking up the lines and stuff. Like just American language or whatever. It's so funny.
It's just
Earth language.
Yes, yeah. Earth language.
Doesn't she doesn't she fall in love with P.F. Chang's?
Benihana.
That is so even better. Funny.
Even better.
Yeah,
they can never resist a knife.
Yeah, because she loves the knife skills and everything. And I thought that was so funny.
And then they do it right in front of you there at your feet.
No, that's good.
That in the square of time.
Oh yeah.
When she went with Frail Human.
Yeah.
Pizza. Family style.
Oh my, yeah. I think that was one of the times that for some reason, every time I did that, the square of time, right? Is that what I said? I think that was one of the ones that we giggled a bit through that scene for some reason. It's funny too, because like in real life, I struggle with colloquialisms, like with phrases, like turn of phrases, even though I am an avid reader. And I have a degree in literature and I'm a very smart woman and I can't get phrases right. Like, I screw them up. I mean, you couldn't believe the phrases I managed to screw up. Like,
is this just speaking? Whoa.
You're definitely not gonna marry Fen with that.
It's every interview my voice cracks, but
you're nervous.
She's nervous.
You're nervous. Or
you find you're a podcaster. I crack so
poor
much.
Man, I can't. What?
So is it only when you speak, or or do you find it when you write as well?
It's only when I speak.
Yeah.
I think maybe I just avoid it when I write because I have enough time to think ahead to be like, okay, nope, yeah. I'm going to say something else. No, I think that's a good question. Actually, I've never really thought about that. Maybe I just literally don't write them when I write. No, maybe I do. I don't know. All I know is I always screw them up, and it's more so when I speak. And like, sometimes I'll even make an example of like my fiance, for instance, he knows. I remember he was the one that first pointed out to me that I struggle with these things. And then I was like, how long have I been doing this for? I don't think people have been correcting me. And I wish they had, because maybe I would have had a chance.
It's like, you know? It's one of those things. It's like, if you see someone with like toilet paper coming out of the bathroom, like on their butt or something, it's like, do you tell them?
I would say it's the shoe, Dave.
Or the shoe. Sorry.
I don't know.
There's a colloquialism fucked up right there.
Yeah. See there, you screwed that one up.
That was like, we were at the bar like maybe 2 or 3 months ago. And one of our friends said, like, pronounced plaid played.
Oh,
like they had only been reading it their whole lives.
Yeah. And he was like, played. And we were like, that's pronounced plaid. He's like, no fucking way. That's plaid.
Wait, he actually, like, after you corrected him, he thought it was actually played still?
Yeah, he thought he was right.
Wow.
Ever heard this word spoken out loud?
I just thought it was something else.
Call him out. Who was it? Call him.
Do we know him?
Yeah, who is this idiot?
You know him. Yeah, you know.
Okay, I know him. All right, all right. Send us all a text later, and we'll let Brittany
know.
No,
email. Don't put him on blast.
Yeah,
just kidding.
No,
maybe though.
I'd be too upset.
Off the record.
Yeah, once we
let him know that it's nothing compared to me not being able to say a single.
Okay, I will.
Before we move off of just like your journey of getting the magicians, are you a book fan? Because, well, it's interesting. I feel, and I'm just speculating, that maybe the writers weren't sure exactly what they were going to do with Fenn, just because obviously in the finale of one, it's a different actress just for the wedding part of it. Yeah. And then it's recast as you. But in the books, not to spoil, and I actually haven't read them in like 2 years, so I'm probably going to, I couldn't she's read speak them, to it good. Anyway. No, no, not to spoil for the people.
Okay, read. Okay.
We have listeners.
Our many, many listeners.
Yeah. We've listened. Yeah. But Fenn's barely in it, right? Like she's a Florian guide at some point, and the style's different, and everything really about Fenn is different. What were the conversations around that? Like, did they even touch the book really? Besides the fact that it was the name Fenn from Fillory, probably she was good with knives in that, because I feel like there it's a, the scene in the book is a fight scene. So
it is, yeah. Yeah, Fenn in the books is quite a bit different. I mean, yeah, she's a Florian. She is their guide. I believe, God, this is so embarrassing if I have this wrong about my own character. I believe in the books, she possesses the ability to do magic, but she chooses not to use magic. If I recall, all I know, she definitely does not use magic in the books. And I can't remember if she possesses the ability to, but she is a, she's like a master with weaponry. Might be with knives. I can't really remember. And yeah, she dies after like 20 pages. And I remember
running out. Spoiled it. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Listen, if you're listening to this interview, if you watched all 5 seasons of the show, the books have been out for like a decade. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first book too. So it doesn't matter.
I still feel bad. I saw a gif from Saving Private Ryan a couple months ago and I was like, spoiler. So I get it. I'm a little behind myself. Yeah. So geez, I'm sorry. You were so considerate about people listening and spoiling it. And I just say it.
No, it's ever since someone was like, we were on one show and I spoiled something from like Bly Manor, a Haunting of Bly Manor in a different series. Like I just was like, oh, this is just like what happened in Bly Manor with this. And someone commented was like, hey, I didn't watch that yet. I was like,
and like, Kathleen, damn. Though, Bly Manor was kind of recent. So, you know, there you go. Yeah. Show it. Oh, there you go.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So an LP of the show?
Newton brothers sent it to us. Yes, we interviewed them, so they sent it to us. Yeah.
Oh, that's really
they're
cool.
Awesome.
Oh, if we're flexing items, then let me flex.
Oh yeah,
here's our
Florian.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Jimmy got us. There's seven of us on the podcast.
Yeah, there's seven of us on the podcast. So what was it for our 100th episode or
100th episode or 1 year?
I got us all from Etsy each a key.
He's such a sap.
I am.
We love him.
And then,
it.
Of course, one of the other members broke his in the first like 2 days. Paul.
Oh.
Paul's only shout out tonight.
It's all right. Paul's a West Ham fan, so it doesn't matter.
I drew the worst key, though. Worst
He's
key.
West Ham just beat a couple days ago. Who did they just
beat? They did. I don't remember, though. Yeah, but we have Brian. Brian is another one who's not here. He's a gunner.
I'm a gunner.
I know you are. Yeah.
Okay.
You're famous.
Lighting,
we know.
My lighting is bad, but that's my Anfield scarf is right there. So we'll be enemies on Wednesday.
Is that where Liverpool plays?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a Liverpool fan.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yes.
That's why I'm sad, because Liverpool's really good.
Yes. Aww. Yes, we are.
Why do I know so many Liverpool fans?
Well, the cockroaches.
They're turning a corner.
Yeah.
We are. Yes. Yes. Man City actually drew today, so we're getting closer.
You guys are in second place, right?
Yes, we are. We are.
Okay.
Arsenal's doing very well this year.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. We're doing much better.
Yeah, Brian's been much friendlier, I would say, this season.
Sure.
He smiles more often, which is nice. So
that's good. I was so sad last year after we did Europe, but whatever. I didn't have a complete spiral over that. It's fine.
I'm glad we got that in there. I was going to make it a point to get some Premier League talk in, so that's good.
Yay. I know. I don't want to derail this show about television and the magicians to talk about football, but
we love it.
But I will. I'm actually wearing, it's not a magician's key, but I'm actually wearing a key right now, too.
Uh-oh, the eighth key? There we go. Is it the eighth one?
It's actually for Christmas. James got me this, plus some other things from the apothecary witchcraft shop.
Nice.
knows you.
Yeah. Yes. It's called The Crooked Path. It's in Burbank and it's amazing. And so he got this for me and a couple other things. And I think it's a skeleton key. And there's more significance with it too. And
Literally looks like something out of like Elden Ring, to be honest. I drew the worst key, actually. I have the Abyss key. This is the one that
that's the one where Poppy screws over somebody.
Yeah.
Probably multiple people.
And the map maker. I'm sorry, I forget his name.
Benedict.
Yeah, I so can't sweet. Believe I forgot.
Okay.
That was my guy too. Benny. <That's true>.
Benny.
Harvey's crushing it at life right now.
Yeah, he's killing it right now.
He really
so
is.
Good on what we do in the shadows. He was so funny and great on The Magicians too.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see. It's good to see him do so well because he's so freaking good. It's so funny. And he went over the side of the Muntjac. It made me very sad.
I know.
Right? That's what happened to him, right?
I love him.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes. Dragon.
All because of Poppy.
That's fine. That spoilers
that
for
is
the Magicians.
Totally fine.
That's
you better have watched all of them if you're listening to this pod.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
I have a question that is nothing to do with the Magicians, but
go on.
You mentioned, I guess the beginning will have something to do with the Magicians. So in the penultimate, correct, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Season 5, well, you said you were shadowing to be, mm-hmm. you were shadowing
oh,
the director.
Yeah.
And then you recently are an executive producer of The Water of Life, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. I don't know too much about the difference between being a director and an executive producer, but do you think like the work on The Magicians and then almost working up to that shadowing role impacted how confident you felt to dive into that project?
What's the timeline on this? I'm trying to think about what came first. So I guess yes and no, because I don't even know what order it happened in.
Okay.
That might speak more to my brain now than my brain back then. when did I do The Water of Life? I think... What is time?
Well, I'm sure, the pandemic kind of sucked everyone's timelines out of their brains and just scrambled them around.
Yes, it did. It did. I think I actually started working on The Water of Life. Yes, I started working on The Water of Life before I shadowed David on The Magicians.
Okay.
But because I'd already been interested in producing. But I do have to say though that we my God, I don't even remember the timing of anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there was a lot of whiskey that was drunken.
Drinking, I think is the word. I have a degree.
Yeah, you're the literature nerd.
I can't say words either. I can't string them together and I can't say single words. After shadowing David though, because that didn't last just for like the 8 days we were filming, it lasted for like a whole month during prep and everything. So I was like always there.
Yeah.
This poor man had to deal with my presence constantly. And it definitely though did make me more confident during the rest of filming the documentary. But especially because it was a documentary, we filmed it in pieces because we filmed it in Europe. We filmed it in like mostly in the UK and a little bit in Ireland and a couple other places as well. And so, it was the filming was broken up a bit. And so during part of the process, it definitely helped in post-production because I'd already shadowed David and then we did post-production and it did make me more confident as a producer and more, I mean, although, you know, directing and EPing is very different. There's certain things that go into it that are the same. And there's certain things that I learned while shadowing him that 100% applied to being, to producing. So it actually was, and part of the reason why I picked David to shadow was because he's an EP he was an EP on The Magicians. And I knew that like producing was kind of more my behind the scenes focus than directing.
Yep.
So that's part of the reason why I wanted to shadow David. And so I would ask him a lot of producer questions all the time as well. So it actually did directly help me with, especially the second half of working on of The Water of Life and helping me understand that stuff. And I think sometimes I even texted David. I think I panicked once while we were doing something to do with The Water of Life. And I was like, David, what do I do? I was like, I'm shadowing you now for the rest of time. I hope. Pretty much what I said. I think I still owe him like $20. Actually, I owed him some money during that time.
David, if you're listening, don't hunt her down. Hunt her down.
That is not getting cut. That is not getting
Venmo
cut.
Request.
It'll be a sec. Yeah, I think I still owe him like $10 or $20.
We got you, David. Dave's helped Dave.
Yeah, we'll
out.
Send it over.
I like how honest you've been this entire time.
Yeah, it's great.
Right?
You incriminated yourself, I think, twice.
You definitely incriminated yourself a few times. That's all right.
Oh, yeah. I'd be a terrible, terrible spy. Or I'd be a really good one because other governments would be like, this woman does not work for the CIA.
She's not.
There's no way.
All right. I do want to talk about the live from Fillory Fen stuff because it's amazing. Did you shoot that all in one day or were those multiple days? And you improvised that? I was going to say, because even like what we posted today about.
Well, I was so happy. Oh, that was fun to revisit.
That was amazing about the bunnies and the sexting and stuff. So good. But
that
like,
was all me. That was all me.
That's so good. Because I was like, they're really getting into it on these. It's fucking good, but I can't believe you guys improvised that. That was great.
Yeah, you guys were so in character for it too. It felt like it was scripted, honestly.
Thanks. It was fun. Everyone did such a good job. And the writers, some of the writers and some of the producers of the behind the scenes stuff, they put together like I was told the ahead of time the different skits. Like I knew that I was gonna be doing like what was written for me was I knew that I was going to be doing a travel segment with Penny. I knew I was going to be doing a fashion segment with Margot. I knew they definitely like scripted out to a degree like what they wanted each piece to focus on, and then they put dot points that were super super helpful on like different ideas to hit upon in the skits, which was really really helpful and really helped me kind of like zone in. But then I would come here there's a very intimidating car like you know 50 yards away right now. He has to defend this home.
My Australian Shepherd is the same way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's an Australian cattle dog.
There you go.
So little defenders. But then if someone came in, she just kissed them and hugged them and nothing is defended here.
Yep.
But don't break into my house. I'm like, no, the security system's excellent.
She has knives.
Yes, I have knives.
Yeah, really.
She didn't say she plastic. Yeah, I was gonna say she didn't say that they were rubber earlier at all.
Yeah, exactly. Although I do have knife sharpeners. I do know how to. I do sharpen our kitchen knives, so
yeah,
I
scare the people.
I can stab people just fine. Thank you. What was I telling you? Oh yeah, Fen. Life is with Fen. And so we got there on the day and like. And I say it just like Fen, right? So like, yeah, I got the prompts that day and I kind of set that down and I think this is what comedians do. And I would just like kind of write down like different jokes that I came up with. And I would then try to like implement them into the scene like that. I don't know. I feel like I watched something about, oh, I don't want to compare myself to anyone who's actually like a brilliant comedian. I just remember like thinking like it's okay to prep yourself with your own little jokes. So I did a bit of that. And then once I felt a little bit more secure with some of my own like, you know, pre-made jokes that I would shape for the scene, I just kind of went off the cuff and just completely improvised. But it was great because like the person who was directing the segments and everybody that was there just made me feel like so comfortable just kind of being wacky and just trying different things. And like the whole like the producers and everyone just like did such a good job of like letting me kind of go wild with it and so yeah, a lot of this stuff was like the what did I say in that clip that you posted, like having to say to a cute little bunny like fuck me daddy or
fuck me daddy. Yeah.
I remember that one specifically because that was one of the ones that I thought of in the moment that I had that quick second of, is this too far?
It's perfect.
And I was like, no. And I'm also going to make eye contact with the camera, like in the office. And so I did have that split second of like, is this too weird? And then I was like, no, fuck it. It's the magicians. And so I remember delivering it to camera And then when they used it, in the cut, I was like, oh, good. Okay. They liked it. That was one of the lines where I was like, oh, this is too bizarre. But no, have I seen the show? Good Lord. Yeah.
Did you prep the questing creatures always like pick white men or whatever? Cause that's fucking funny.
Oh yeah. No, sorry for the attack on white men. I
that was good. I was cracking up.
Asian man. So it's okay.
David's safe. I don't know about Jim and Kyle, but yeah. Sorry to attack you too.
Well, it was cool because it felt like, I mean, it felt like you were like hanging out with them, right? Like you're catching them like in an off moment where you're just kind of like goofing off with them. It felt scripted, but it didn't feel scripted in that way where it's like Arjun's just like, or I guess Penny is just like fucking around. Like, it's just so good. I love it. Everyone was good. Like Alice, when Olivia was going on her little rant, when you four were sitting there, that was funny. Cause that was like a little more extra than maybe Alice would have been, which was great. And I love that.
She totally improv that as well. Olivia improv that whole bit. I remember just looking at her and I was like, oh my God, look at her go.
That's awesome.
Was it your idea or what? Did someone pitch it to you?
No, somebody pitched it to me. And it might have been a meeting of a few minds in the writer's room.
Yeah.
But it was not my idea. It was some of the writer's ideas and they pitched it to me. And I obviously was like, yes,
it was a great idea.
And it was so funny. And yeah, I think like they called it like Fen Life from Fillory or Life from Fillory with Fen. And then I just kept insisting upon calling it Fen Life from Fillory with Fen. I think they finally gave it its correct title, but I just kept, cause you know, they can't tell you what to do when the camera starts rolling. Yeah, I just would throw in the like redundant Fens, but no, it was somebody else's idea. And I was so excited when they brought it to me. And yeah, everybody the whole day, like all the actors and everybody, I thought, did such a good job and like were so great as their characters and yeah, it was like literally, like I said on Twitter this morning, it was literally one of my favorite days. And even though it was a really, really long day and of like constant improvising, but it was really, really fun. And I would totally do that again. Oh my gosh, I love it.
It goes with what we were saying earlier with Fen loving the like earth isms. Like she would love a YouTube show. That would delight her. Yeah, so it's true. Just like,
she would
it's
love
a great
TikTok
idea
right now.
Yeah, she would. I know. I kept meaning to like pitch to sci-fi some sort of like, you know, web show version of Fen Live from Fillory with Fen.
Oh, you should have
so
totally
good.
Did
yeah,
that
would have been awesome.
Still haven't done that, but I actually still have some of Fen's. Well, I don't have some of Fen's costumes. Sergio Osuna, who plays Rafe, has my costumes because he's a nice person and I couldn't get to Canada. I know I just cut out the whole little part of the story, but I bid on some of my costumes and I'm pretty sure they were my costumes. And you had to
think I wore them.
And well, all you could see was like little slivers of fabric. Wow. In like, it was like lot A, lot B. And then you could see like slivers of fabric in like the pictures that they posted of these lots, you know, in the silent auction online that I won it from. And I was looking at the fabric and I was like, I recognize that fabric. I recognize that fabric. And I was like, okay, that's my Tequila Sunrise dress, which is one of the dresses. Mogli, our wonderful late costume designer, she named it Tequila Sunrise, and she would like name a lot of my costumes, and she was so brilliant and so amazing. And yeah, she just passed a couple months ago. It was so strange and so unexpected. I didn't know what was going
sorry
on
for your loss.
Thank you. She was such a light. I mean, truly, like, oh my God, like she was just such a character, and we all have our Mowgli impressions, which she loved. Like she'd be like, uh-huh, Fen. That was like the most racist French accent I've ever done. Like, oh, we did it. And she liked it. Sounds like the idiot American that's like, they were fine with it. And she'd be like, oh, Fen from Castle White. Factor that I can actually speak some French, and I'm doing the worst French accent in the world right now. But like Mowgli, kind of like the Kennedys have their own Boston accent that's different than the rest of Boston. Like Mowgli has her own French accent that's different from any other French accent. And so, So she was amazing. And so I was able to, especially now that she's passed, the fact that I got so many of these costumes that she, you know, designs with her amazing team from scratch. I mean, they were brilliant, all of them. Like, oh my God, I'm so happy. But it's up in an apartment in Vancouver right now with Sergio, who played very good. I couldn't go up to pick them up, and you had to pick it up in person. So I hit up Sergio and I was like, Sergio, could you go take some clothes of mine from this? And they're still in his home. All these
nice guy.
He's probably so upset about it. Why are these here?
Probably taking up so much room. I feel so bad.
Nah, it's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, we talked to Rick about all the clothes and outfits that he wore, because he was always looking spiffy as well. And always fire. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was an amazing design team. They were incredible.
Yeah. God, his costumes are amazing. He looked
And the magical characters too, like all like the cat and just everyone was the makeup and everything peacock. Was always so on point. Yeah, the peacock. Man. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. The costumes and also makeup and special effects makeup. And all of them just came together. And I think maybe special effects as well. I know a few different departments had a hand in some of the costuming once it got like, you know, more crazy or I don't know who did what. I take it back. Different people did different things.
Pop quiz, Kyle. Do you still remember the name of the pig from season 5?
You better, Kyle.
Nope, he doesn't.
I don't.
Wait.
I mean, I can find it. I can get it for you quick, but I don't remember.
I remember.
You do. There's
Kyle. No, you don't remember any of his
don't
five
do this
names.
To me. Don't do this to me.
Starts with Sir.
Say it. I think I remember.
All right, let's hear it.
Say it.
I think it's Sir Effingham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Do you remember the whole thing?
Sir Pig-a-Lot. No, I don't. Do you remember?
Well, Kyle used to say it every episode of the podcast. Yeah. So I can't believe he hasn't memorized it. Hurry up, dude.
I wrote it on my laptop somewhere so I would never lose it. And I lost it.
I feel like a Google search is a little bit easier.
Damn, I'm getting my ass kicked this interview.
I got it. Ready? Sir Hargrave McGrubney Cubbins Archibald Brian Effingham III.
There you go.
So Brittany, good. How dare you not remember all of that?
I didn't even know that to begin with. Is that really his whole name?
Yeah. Which I love that Sean Maguire played both him and Rupert. Mm-hmm. I love that they cast him in both, because at first I was like a little worried that for some reason they were going to be each other. And I'm like, is that a spoiler that I know that it's they're better. The same actor? But I was glad because... the pig man killed it. Sean was amazing, especially in Cruel to Be Kind. We love that.
He was
so
amazing.
Fun.
Amazing. And he was like, you know, doing dance sequences and stuff is a lot of hard work anyways, just because, you know, it's a lot of physical exertion, but he did it in latex or whatever it was, like full suit with all that prosthetics. And like, he must've been drenched.
Yeah.
And sweat because like I was exhausted that day and I was just wearing earth clothes. Otherwise known as clothes.
Wow. Damn, Kathleen, I missed the show. Sorry.
Kathleen, do you have one more question before we let
Brittany
go?
I do. Bang, kill, marry. Okay, so
from
did we decide
it?
If
right now, do
I
it right
how
now.
Ready were you were for it.
Sometimes when we have four people and we can't choose, we do bang, kill, marry, and friend. And I was like, no, we can't do it. And we were joking beforehand. We're like, we should make her do it with us. Like, kidding. So funny that you said that.
Well, I'll marry Kyle because it's me.
Yes.
Satisfy the dream.
Just don't
Kyle's
kill any of
man.
Us. Please don't kill any
Kyle's
of us.
Gonna
just end it with
that.
Marrying Kyle.
Yeah.
I had to even it out. This poor man. So yes.
Thank you.
I will marry you.
Poor man and his voice crack.
Kyle, your voice is very deep when you said thank you.
I will take the pity, Mary.
No, it was real Mary.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, so did we decide that she's doing it from Fenn's point of view or from her own?
Of who?
Right.
Well, we haven't given you the three yet. Let's just do it. Let's do it from Fenn.
From Fenn. Yeah. Okay. So then we've got Josh,
okay,
Elliot, and Margot.
Okay. And
you're
as
Fenn.
As
Fenn.
As Fenn. as their characters.
Yes, their characters.
It would be really funny if it was.
We're like Summer, Trevor, and Hale.
Yeah, I'm like,
what do you do? Go
get the tea. Get the tea.
Yeah, I know. God, there's so much tea and pots, teapots. I can't do express. It's not, that's just a sentence.
Yeah. Those were just words. That wasn't look even a phrase. Yeah.
Just throw them all out there.
Like, it's an expression. No, it's literally just how syntax works. Linguistics. Sam smart and defensive. Okay, so
he's stalling.
Oh fuck. From Fen's perspective, I would say, oh God, I have to kill someone. That's so sad.
Yeah.
With a knife.
We struggle with this every week. Every time.
Anytime we have to kill someone.
All right. I know.
It sucks when we have to
kill someone. Well, it's as Fen though, so it's a little less.
Yeah, it's not you personally. It's Fen.
Sometimes we like to say like how they died. We're like, oh, it was an accident, or I killed this person because if I married this person, then this person would be mad. We like to like justify it.
I like
get them out of the way.
I love
that. Right. We already know the deal. Like if Fen bangs Josh, then we know the repercussions from the show. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
Marries them, it's the same.
Am I saying this from the perspective of all these characters at the end of season 5?
True, sure, you should say it like that, yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you guys are tight there. Yeah, that's good.
And you are a werewolf at this point.
That's right, I forgot I was a werewolf. That's so cool. Okay, I think Fen would marry Josh.
Yeah.
And definitely fuck Elliot and Margo, but...
no.
I know it's not
allowed. It's a cop out.
Kyle's just jealous.
We were even trying to think about it too. Like we couldn't decide who she would kill between.
Yeah.
Yeah, between.
It's impossible. Some of the ones we do are impossible. Because
she really looks up, like loves Margot, but like also her relationship with Elliot is just so entwined. It's like who do you pick between those two at that point?
No, I know, it's like I feel like Fen would want to fucking kill both of them would want to kill both of them and fuck both of them.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this way. I do think that your marriage with Josh would go a lot smoother with Margot completely out of the picture.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
See, that's really deductive reasoning. I like that. Yeah. And Fen's already, you know, had relation. Why do I turn into a 12-year-old when I
and Margo Elliot already killed you once or tried to.
Yeah, you know what? And then we'll just call it even.
Yeah.
Actually murdering her. Yeah.
Not with the child's play knife. Or maybe the child's play knife. That gets me out of it. Yeah, I guess marry Josh, fuck Elliot, kill Margo. But
sounds good. You heard it here first, Binge Town listeners.
Steve was like, cut her off. No justification.
It's canon. It's canon.
I think that might be a first. I don't think Margo has ever been killed on this podcast.
That's not true.
Ben has definitely never been killed. Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I always pick Elliot to marry. That's all I know.
Dave always marries Elliot.
Yeah,
which Eli. I totally get. He was a wonderful husband sometimes. And
no,
he's a chaotic lover. You're sweet.
He didn't deserve Fen.
You're sweet.
He's a chaotic lover.
Wait, wow. what have people said about Fen? What is it up?
Oh, you're a Mary every time.
Oh, we always.
Oh no, you're a Mary. Yeah, also a Mary every time.
Kyle Wahlberg.
Because everyone knows, like, it's me. I like how I'm taking this. Like,
you should
marry me.
Well, here's the thing you got to remember about Mary. Mary means you get to bang all the time too. So it's not just like the bang is usually reserved for like, all right, this is going to be like.
Like for Marina,
freaky.
Who's like crazy.
Yeah.
Like we always try to use that for like Marina or someone that we just can't. But Kyle, I think it was the same terrible. One as the Fen one. Kyle had to kill Marina. He was done with Marina.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because Zelda was the other option.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Zelda.
Kyle loves Zelda as well.
How could you not? She's a librarian.
And we talked to Dana
as
well.
She's a librarian. Like, oh gosh. Yeah. No.
All right, final question. Final question. You said you're an avid reader. What are you reading right now?
I'm reading a few things right now. As
classic.
As it always goes. Yeah. I'm currently reading one of Alice. She's this amazing historian about like mostly the Tudor age in English history. So I'm reading her book on Catherine Parr right now, because I just finished reading The Six Wives of Henry VIII recently. And then for Christmas, James got me another, I've read a few of her her books, and he got me, she has like a book on each of the wives. Wow. So he got me a signed copy from her.
Wow.
Christmas on Catherine Parr. And she's one of my favorite wives. Nice. And so I'm reading that one.
I'm also, I didn't know that was a thing, like a trivia question. Like, who's your favorite wife of, of Henry VIII?
Well, at least with nerds, it is. but, yeah, Catherine Parr is one of my favorites, but I also really like Catherine of Aragon, who I think is underrated. And of course, Anne Boleyn, because obviously.
amazing.
I have thought for all of them. But yeah. Catherine Parr book. I'm reading a book called, what is it? It's a witchcraft book. It's about the goddess, like the Hecate. It's called Chthonia. Oh my god.
Wow.
Because the author's last name is Cullen. It's like Chthonia something. Oh shoot. I should know it. And I'm reading The Witching Hour too by Anne Rice. Okay. So I auditioned for it and then didn't get it, but whatever. And I already really love the book. So I got attached to this fucking book.
Yeah.
And now every time I read it, I'm sad. But I also have to read it because it's so good. It's such a good book. And then I think those are my three main. Yeah. The Catherine Parr, the Hecate book, and the Witching Hour.
There you go. We learned a lot about you, but we also learned that your fiance is a terrific gift giver.
And he has a great name. Great, great
it's
name.
Ingram. Yeah. Not to be confused with the very famous singer.
Oh, okay.
There's a famous like singer named James Ingram as well.
Okay.
Which sometimes people have thought he was going to be that James Ingram.
Yeah. Because you yourself are famous.
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
Obviously, that's why.
I don't know.
I am clearly definitely. Why.
If I saw you in the streets, I would scream if that makes you feel any like any more famous. Stop me in my tracks.
Kathleen would have literally had a heart attack.
Kathleen's getting so much better
literally.
At talking to the Magician's cast. When she talked to Rick, he was the first one, right? Was he Rick our first interview?
What are you about
Kathleen
to say?
Spilled
he's,
her guts
he's
out.
Kind of mean to us.
You've shown a lot of
Kathleen's my sister, so I'm allowed to bust on her. So
well, listen, I was just hopping around because Rick and us were on the phone for like 3 freaking hours, and I wanted to show him my Tada lights in my room because I had them.
Oh, your Tada lights.
Yeah, I'm in my that's in my Philly apartment. I'm at my parents' house right now, so I can't show you.
Where's your parents' house? What area?
It's like Delaware County.
What's
outside
your
of Philly.
Sorry, I bet
Social Security.
Yeah, how good is the security at your house?
Oh my, I know, right? Yeah, whoops. Yeah, what's your social security number?
But yeah, we're right outside of Philly.
Okay. Yeah. I love Philly. I've been there a couple times.
So do we. Well,
if you come,
next time you're by, drinks on us. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Actually, you know what I've been drinking out of my Ratatouille mug this whole time is beer. So,
there you go. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Kyle and I.
Good taste. Good taste.
It's our favorite movie of all time.
Ratatouille?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I love Ratatouille.
Anyone can cook. That was a slightly more racist version of a French person.
Yeah.
No, I think it was just worse.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, we can't let you go without giving a shout out to Rick's charity, Buddy's Healing Paws.
Mm. Oh, got it. No, I need to do something.
Yes.
For that.
I'm we, so glad that's all right. We're gonna. I actually know what you're gonna do for it, so I'll let everybody know. So, Buddies helps fund life-saving specialty and unexpected procedures for sick pets. Very, very special charity. They have a Magician's Trivia Night on March 26th. Bingetown TV. We are writing the questions, and we are the people. We were actually going to enter, and then we were asked to write the questions. So. Now we know that we're not going to be the winners, I guess, but all it costs is $10, $10 donation to Buddies. It's at 7:30. When you give the donation, you will get your access to the trivia night, and the winner receives a signed magician script from Rick Worthy, autographed by Rick. And then there's a signed photo by Brittany.
Yes, and it's in the mail. It's in the mail.
It's in the mail going away from your house, right? Not coming towards it. You've already signed
it. Yeah, it's not in the mail. It's in the mail in the way that people say it's in the mail. See, I get an impression with me.
You'll get it.
And please. There's also a meet and greet with Olivia Taylor Dudley. I believe that's another one of the prizes. Maybe it's highest bidder. I'm not sure. But
it's fun.
A lot of cool stuff for that night, March 26th, 7:30. $10 donation, you'll get the Zoom link and we'll have a lot of fun. We might MC it. I don't know. We're working on it. Kathleen would have been the perfect MC, but she's busy that night. She has an engagement, I believe. So
yes,
we will see. But
if they call off the engagement, I'll be there.
That's perfect.
All right, my dog's playing again. I wanted to be there too, but I'm doing a Emmy. She's guard dogging again. I'm doing a play. And it has a showing. Cool. That night. And so I wanted to like say that I could pop in or something. I don't know the timing, but I wanted to be there, you know. But I need to sign that picture. I actually do have the picture already, for the record. It's in the next.
Is it a magician's picture?
It is.
It's a Fenn picture. Okay. Yeah. Are you holding a knife?
It's a Fenn portrait. I'm not, no. Oh, I mean, gosh. Emotionally, I'm always, but anyway.
Emotionally always strapped.
I just, yes, the text, the amount of times we text each other with the tiger, with the knives, the crabs, with the knives, and the thumbs up.
Oh, so when I emailed you guys with the crabs and the knives.
I sent it to them. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
It's how we feel.
Okay, good. Because I was like...
Exactly. It's just how we feel right now. So
I was like, I know they'll get this. Like an interview that was, you know, just that you guys didn't specifically watch The Magicians, which happens, you know, all the time. The interview would be like, the journalist would be like, what? What?
Your next job offer. They're like, oh, you got the job. And you're like, tiger, knife.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
You're like, I don't know what this was. That was a crab.
Yeah, that was the crab. Yeah.
Obviously.
All right.
Brittany, thank you so much for coming
you guys
on.
Go. I didn't realize how late
you're the
was.
Best.
You
you're
so
thank
best.
You so much.
You were amazing, Ben, on one of our favorite shows of all time.
We all want to say
gotta give you props. Gotta give you props. Amazing.
Thanks. You guys can all say nice things now. Go ahead.
Don't worry.
We have to give some more props to Rick and Buddy's Healing Paws, because Rebecca from Buddy's Healing Paws got us in touch.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, my managers hit me up and I was like, oh wait, because I've seen you guys on social media before.
Stop.
Wow, that's crazy.
She's like, oh, that's great. I listened to all 200 of your episodes.
I was sitting here like acting like I'm like, what? Which episode? What are you talking about?
That's good to hear, really, though. Thank you.
Binge them all, but yeah, no, I was like, oh good, no, because I've seen you guys on pop up on social media before, so you guys are famous too. And so when I saw my manager send me that request, I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. And cool. Here we are.
Love it.
See you guys later.
Or thanks again later. So much, Brittany. Yeah, it was so much, truly Brittany. A pleasure.
Love that. It was so nice meeting all of you, Mary and Kyle. And,
yeah,
it happened.
I'll never forget it.
Kyle's
forget
day.
It. It's unfortunate because Kyle, aren't you an ordained? Aren't you an ordained
minister? All right, so we'll take care of this.
Yeah, you can marry. You can do it right now.
All right, let me tell you things real quick.
Yeah.
ask him. I
might
only
need to recertify.
It's only you as Fenn.
Florian ways, you know, we can have several.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Good. You can marry a bear if you want.
All right, so before the both of us, get in trouble, let's stop.
Yeah. Anytime you're in Philly,
Brittany. Yes, anytime you're in Philly.
I will.
Yeah,
hit us up. Be drinks on us, and open invitation to come back if you ever want to magic and chill again. Thanks so much for coming on.
All right, Magicians fans, that is all she wrote for our chat with Brittany. Words cannot describe how much fun we just had doing that, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. We appreciate each listen, subscription, share, and follow, so please be sure to do one, or maybe all of the above, if you enjoyed this interview. And of course, if you aren't following Brittany across all of her socials, get on that one as well. And last, but certainly not least, don't forget to show Buddy's Healing Paws some love. Love you guys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.